Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better, even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing
and make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? All right, Bob, in your experience, there's, you know, obviously there's a lot in the sales background, and I'm sure a lot of marketing in that as well, because I look at sales as marketing as, you know, hand in glove. And when we were talking originally, you said everybody's in the sales business. And I always say that everybody's in the relationship marketing business. I don't think they're that different.
No,
you know, they're basically the same thing. Is you're constantly building relationships. And I think one of the most powerful things in business is that people not only know, like, and trust you, but are so satisfied with what they do or what you do for them, is that they give you referrals. So talk about the sales process, and what are some of the key things that you see people doing that's really going to help them grow their business or grow their sphere of influence, so to speak?
Well, first, I think it's important for people to really understand what selling is, and just as importantly, what it isn't. Because a lot of people get into business, and a lot of entrepreneurs do this because they have a product or service that they really love and believe in. And if they could possibly survive and thrive without sales being a part of it, they would gladly do so. You know, you'll often hear this, well, the only thing is I just don't like to sell. And I don't think it's that people don't like to sell. They just don't like the idea of doing what they think selling is. And so I think when we can reframe it and have a really clear understanding of what selling is and what it isn't, I think that just changes the game right there. Many people believe that, again, because it's what you hear from, you know, whatever, and sometimes what you see, and they think selling is something you do to someone, when in actuality, selling is something you do for someone. They think that selling is trying to convince someone to buy something they don't want or need, and that is not selling. That, in fact, that's being a thief when you think about it, trying to convince someone to buy something they don't want or need. That's not selling at all. Selling, by definition, is simply discovering what the other person does need, want, or desire, and helping them to get it. And when you see selling like that, you can feel very good about it and very proud of it. You know, the word sell, the old English root of the word sell is selan, which meant to give. So when you're selling, you're literally giving. Now someone might say, well, wait a second, isn't that just semantics? Well, I don't think so. I mean, if you're in front of someone about to do a presentation, so you are in the selling process, when you're selling, what exactly are you giving? I suggest you're giving them time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, and most of all, value. So again, I want you to feel very proud of the fact that you are in sales, that you are selling. Now, the first thing is that we have to understand that selling is not about us, and it's not about our product or service. It's about them. See, no one, and I often say this when I speak at a sales conference, nobody is going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet. They're not going to buy from you because you need the money. And they're not even going to buy from you because you're a really nice person who believes in your product or service. They're only going to buy from you because they believe that they will be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And I suggest that's the only reason they should buy from you. So because of this, we all need to understand that our job is simply to discover first, before anything else, discover what it is they want, need, or desire.
So, Bob, you know, this all takes me back to a time when I was learning about sales, and, you know, the things that come to mind are, you know, first and foremost, setting the appointment, listening skills. And then, of course, you know, you get to the end and you're working on overcoming objections and you're trying to make the close and, you know, can I have your business, you know, that kind of stuff. Can I have your business today? You know, that's kind of old school, and I don't think it works much anymore, but I still see people doing that. What are some of the things that you're seeing that the more modern people are doing in their sales that you just kind of cringe when you see it?
Well, you know, sales has changed. It has evolved. The marketplace has evolved. Technology has evolved, certainly, which has changed the game. And so now you have different types of sales. You have the small sales in which a one-call close is very appropriate, both for the seller and the buyer. In that scenario, if the buyer feels as though they will be obtaining sufficient value for the price they're paying, well, then it happens. That's fine. Most especially as you get into bigger sales, certainly enterprise sales, a one-call close isn't appropriate. It's not going to happen. You know, there are now often more than one decision maker. There's sometimes not only a committee, but a whole bunch of different people from whom you've got to get buy-in. So there's a number of smaller sales within the sales process. Anthony Iannarino wrote a fantastic book called The Only Sales Guide You'll Ever Need, which handles a lot of that, which I think he did a brilliant job with it. And there's many, you know, there's a number of other books that have come out which talk about that as well. So, you know, things are cringeworthy when people try to use 1930s, you know, sales techniques with in today's world where it's just not appropriate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the last question I have for you, and in the case of where you're at and where you've evolved to, what's inspiring you today?
Well, what continues to inspire me is all the great new information that's coming out, some of the great works that are being written. You know, as I said earlier, I'm an avid reader, so I love learning things that I don't know and relearning things that I knew but needed a reminder of. Of course, you know, I stay just as excited about the classics by writers such as Orison Swett Marden, who wrote Peace, Power, and Plenty. He was the founder of Success Magazine, and his books just, you know, his wisdom lives on in books like As a Man Thinketh and books such as Think and Grow Rich. Those continue to inspire me. So, yeah, it inspires me that as technology grows and gets more advanced, to me, it allows a deeper personal connection. If you understand that the medium, that the technology is simply the medium, that it's not the end in and of itself. So, yeah, I think leadership is advancing now, and while we still have, I think, a leadership challenge out there, there are just great books that have come along that have really shown why being a leader who is there for his or her people, who puts their people first before themselves, that's, again, not just a nice way to lead, but it's the most profitable and productive way to lead. So I think there's a lot to be excited about.
Yeah, and I think leadership and business in general is really, I mean, one of the biggest changes is the indoctrination of millennials into the workforce, who are soon going to be, you know, the largest part of that workforce, and they have completely different values than, right, you know, say us that have been through the corporate markets and things like that, where there was a hierarchy. I call it, you know, my parents and I tried to climb the corporate ladder, and right now I call it the corporate step stool. They just want to get, you know, some kind of, you know, pat on the back. They want lifestyle. They want completely different things, and selling to them is a completely different thing as well, right?
Sure. Well, you know, with the millennials, especially in the corporate workplace, if you will, and they get a bad rap, and sometimes for, you know, correct reasons, they unlike the older people like you and I, especially I, that I'm probably older than you are, they, you know, kind of want things to go a little quicker than what we expected it to be. But in another sense, they get a bad rap that's not deserved, because the fact is, they want meaning, and there's nothing wrong with wanting meaning. And I think that they are willing to put on a lot of hours, and they're willing to give themselves to the company and to the mission and so forth. I think they're willing to do so, so long as they do feel a part of something bigger than themselves. They don't just want to be told what to do, as we were, right? they want to know why they're doing it. And, you know, in a certain way, say, hey, guys, you know, just grow up. That's just part of the real... But I don't blame them for wanting that. Mm-hmm. And if that's what the marketplace is demanding, and if a leader knows that if they want to get the best talent, they're going to have to go that way, hey, you know, the marketplace itself is going to determine what does happen.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for, you know, anybody to start to learn, you know, to adapt to the new economy, because, I mean, things have changed quite a bit. The one thing I always talk about is principles are principles and tactics are tactics, you know, and it's, but it's really, it's using those foundational principles. And then with millennials, their tactics are, you know, I want flexible time. I'll still put in my 40 hours a week. I just might want to work from home and show up at 10 in the morning. You know, it's just, right. It's a different mindset, but having two millennial children, I know how hard they work and their commitment, but they just want that lifestyle. So Bob, this has been just incredible. You've dropped an incredible amount of knowledge bombs on my peeps, and this is just some awesome stuff, and I so like and trust you and respect what you have to say. And I know that you got something else that's going to help my audience kind of wrap their arms around this even more. What is that?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the kind word. It's been an honor and pleasure to be on your podcast. If people would like a report called The Go-Giver Way, 5 Principles for Creating a Culture of Excellence, they can come to thegogiver.com. I think if they wait a few seconds, there'll be a pop-up that says that, and we welcome them to read that and enjoy it. I hope they benefit from it.
Thanks so much for sharing that. So, Bob, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Best way is to go to thegogiver.com. It's the GoGiver in this case without the hyphen, thegogiver.com. And they can join the Go-Giver movement and subscribe to the podcast if they'd like. They can also scroll down to the books where they can get a sample chapter and an excerpt and see if they like where the books are going.
Outstanding. Well, again, Bob, I so appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on and sharing, you know, all the knowledge with all my people. So this has been a pleasure, and I appreciate you jumping on this podcast with me.
Well, thank you so very much, Brian. I love the work you do and wish you the best of continued success.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.